Welcome to How Now, the podcast where we talk about how to live in the now. And here's your host, Kim Martin Raymond.
Peace and blessings, love and light, and welcome to this edition of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. I am your host, Kim Martin Raymond. I'm a minister, spiritual life coach, holistic nutritionist, author, and founder of Redefining You LLC, where I help my clients to realign themselves, mind, body, and spirit. And if you are new to the How Now podcast, welcome to the show. We're so glad to have you. Be sure that you go to my website, www.hownowpodcast.com, and be sure to like, follow, share, and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. You can go to the bottom of the page and it will, and click on this week's banner, and it will take you to the How Now YouTube channel, where you can like, follow, share, and subscribe there as well. Be sure to click on the playlist for Tuesday, and also find out what's going on in my now. Again, that's www.hownowpodcast.com. So let's get into today's show, where we're going to be talking about the wall of wealth. Now, we are coming up on tax season. We know that people will be hopefully filing and getting a nice return. And we want to make sure that people are building strong foundations for what to do with that money, and not to just splurge it, but to be strategic and intentional about how they are spending the money that they are obtaining and how they're building personal wealth. And to help me to go through all of the ins and outs of financial, personal financial wealth and how to build that, is my lovely guest. And of course, as is customary with the How Now podcast, I will have her introduce herself at this time. Take it away.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Miss Kim. It is an honor and a pleasure to be here with you and your audience. My name is Leah Garcia, and I must say the amazing Leah Garcia. Right. And I'm a financial professional, and I specialize in helping you to protect, distribute, and transfer your wealth. I'm also involved with the Money Minute. We bring you financial literacy in bite-sized golden nuggets. We post those all over social media. I'm the host of the Wealthy Wednesday, which we talk about all things money, to do with reading books, to weight loss, and everything else to do with your wealth. And I also am a guest speaker on the Motivational Monday podcast with Eric and Friends. And I am the creator of the Wall of Wealth, which is my proprietary system. It's a one-page financial plan. And by the way, I also just love studying, reading, learning, and martial arts. So that's me.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. I love it. I love it. You know, I love that you said that wealth is not just about money. It's right. Also wealth of body, of mind, of spirit. And, you know, that's huge for me. My mantra this year is talking about building toolboxes and the importance of having toolboxes for your mental, spiritual, and physical health. And so we talk about wellness journey. And so, you know, what we're going to unpack today is going to be something that you can put into your, you know, mental toolbox, those things that we can reach back for, those lovely nuggets that are going to help us to get to where we need to be, especially, you know, like I said, in our finances as tax season is right around the corner. So let's talk first about how you got into the realm of finances.
You know, I have always loved insurance. When I got pregnant with my first son, my ex-husband's family, they required us to sit down with their life insurance agent. It was just a requirement. And to that point, I had no idea there was anything that you could purchase, that you could invest in, that would take care of your family when you were no longer here. I was fascinated, and I read my first life insurance policy cover to cover. Now, I'm not saying I understood it, but right. I just thought this is incredible. Why didn't I ever know this? Growing up, if someone passed away, we did a big sale, we did a car wash, and we found right. the richest relative, and that's how we took care of our loved ones. I didn't know that there was anything, so it always fascinated with me. And when my kids were little, you know, a lot of my friends went back to school to get degrees, to be teachers. I love teaching, but I didn't want to be a teacher. And one of my friends got involved with insurance and he said, you know what, let's do this together. And so I just love the idea of the learning, being around adults and growing up people and needing to dress up and learning and studying. And I just fell in love with it. I fell in love with what we could do, could really transform lives. And a lot of families really didn't understand how to use life insurance. And since then, I've really upgraded my platform. So that's where I started.
Wow. And then I'm sure that, of course, when the pandemic hit, I'm sure that a whole lot of people were just like, where do we go? I'm sure it was even more magnified during that time. I remember having a guest, and he's been a return guest on my show. His name is Keith Miles. And he spoke about estate planning and the importance of being prepared, because there were a lot of people that, you know, when the pandemic hit, it was like, what do we do? We've lost loved ones. And a lot of people were left in the dark and really started looking, you know, to financial specialists and you know, people who were dealing with insurance to help them. So what did that look like when the pandemic hit?
Yeah, absolutely. It totally transformed our business and our industry. Before, I called it BC. Before, well, you know.
That's like before COVID.
Yeah. Before that, we had to meet in person, one-on-one. I used to drive about 60,000 miles a year on my car. I used to live in my car, food, clothing, and just drive all across California because we didn't have the authority to really do this online thing. Then the pandemic hit. Miraculously, we're able to get through all that compliance, and now we're meeting on Zoom. If I'd asked families, you know, before the pandemic to talk to me about all your finances, give me your social security number, all your accounts, they would have said no way. But during the pandemic, they said they understood. They're using Zoom and such like that to see their children and their loved ones. So it really transformed our business and our industry. And that for me really was a game changer, because at the same time, the pandemic, remember, Kobe Bryant also passed away. So it created a lot of awareness about life insurance, about estate planning, the importance of having a living trust. And, you know, none of us are immortal.
Right.
And things are going to happen. We never know what place we are in the line. We just don't know. Accident and illness, no age.
Right.
So I think because Kobe was one of the few that really had taken the steps, he did have life insurance. He did have a proper estate plan and a pour over will. That's why his estate transferred seamlessly the way that it should. Unlike Prince or Michael Jackson or even Aretha Franklin, and the list goes on of people who didn't have those proper documents.
Right.
So for me, it's just been transformational. And now my clients are all over the U.S., Puerto Rico, and Canada. And I
nice.
Work right here, right in my
nice.
Little office.
Right. And I mean, and you're right. It's critical, because a lot of people really didn't, it really, they weren't thinking about it until COVID came and they saw loved ones lost. And it was just like, wait, you know, I may need to get my act together. And just like you said, even if they didn't, look at celebrities and that's been, you know, since the beginning of time, people have passed and then we find that they have children and then they've got, you know, traditional families and all these other things to go through. And it just becomes a mess. You know, that person is gone, but for the person that has to be there, he has to be here for them. It's a challenge. And you want your wishes to be met, and you want to be able to have a say in what happens to your estate when you're not here. And I think that some people are even at the point where, like, well, you know, I don't have anything, so I really don't need to you know, look into that, because, you know, I right now I don't have anything. I just have an apartment and I'm renting my car, or I'm you know, paid off this car. I don't know that I have anything. So when we talk about finances, where should people start, especially if they think they don't have anything?
Yeah, that's such a great question. So obviously they're going to start with the wall of wealth. And if you don't have anything, let me tell you a story. A lot of people think that they didn't have anything. And I met this couple, and they were not my client, but I was referred to them for something else. And they really had been those hardworking families. They didn't have children, but they had a church and they wanted to leave something to their church. So you know what they did, Miss Kim? They would save up, get a life insurance policy, and then they would, you know, go ahead and continue to do that. And they did that many, many times. And at the end, when they passed away, they left an estate worth over $10 million. So it's not just about how much you accumulate, but life insurance is one of the most affordable way to leave tax-free wealth in most cases to your beneficiaries, whether it's your loved ones, you can create an estate for them, whether it's your grandchildren, whether it is your charity, whether it is you want to start your own foundation. So for pennies on the dollar, you could literally leave millions of dollars to those you love and care about most.
Right. And then, you know, we talk about that, and I think that's a wonderful start, because like you said, it's pennies on the dollar. You see all kinds of advertisements for things like Gerber, things like, I mean, even for your children, and being able to create things even when they're younger. Because I think what happens is some of us who are older, you know, some of us Gen X, you know, or Gen Z, well, they're relatively boomers, young, yeah. But our baby boomers, those of us who are older in age, we're thinking, oh, well, you know, we're past that age. We're getting close to retirement age, or what should be retirement age, but we can't retire because we don't have any savings. I mean, I think that it's just, you know, people just have no idea where to start. They have no idea, you know, that they can invest, especially if they're in their latter years. So, I mean, is it Absolutely. Possible for them to even start then with a life insurance policy and build from there?
Yeah, that's a great question. And a lot of my clients are really 55 to 65. That's really where a lot of my clients are. And often they say, you need to talk to my kids. I wish they did this 20, 30 years ago.
Right.
But a lot of times life insurance doesn't maybe have to come directly out of your pocket. Maybe we're going to restructure something. Maybe you have a pension that we can restructure, or some other retirements. Maybe you're a business owner and we can leverage the business using IRC codes, executive bonus plans, even premium financing. So there are a lot of different ways. And one thing that I've done as well is if you have children and they know they're going to be your beneficiary, mm-hmm. perhaps it's time for them to pay for that policy, not right. only to protect their inheritance, but also you can add additional riders like long-term care, which many families don't have anything towards. So there's different strategies. Even if you don't have the dollars right now, you know what? You can start somewhere. Maybe you start with a final expense, or you start with a very affordable term life insurance product that's convertible down the road. So hopefully that gives people some hope.
Yeah. And I think that it's important, of course, that they seek out an advisor, somebody who they trust. And yeah. and you know, knows that has their best interests, and to begin the process of researching to make sure that they have somebody who will, you know, introduce them to the products, because like I said, you don't know what questions to ask if you don't know. And right. so that's why, you know, I love platforms like this, because it scratches the surface, it raises awareness and piques curiosity for people to dig a little deeper and figure out, okay, I don't know a lot about this, but I need to start digging. You know, one place that I'm sure that they can start is with your ebook, which is The Wall of Wealth. So thank let's talk you. A little bit about The Wall of Wealth. That's a wonderful segue into The Wall of Wealth and how that was developed, because there are people out there who are just like, I have no idea what to even type into Google. You have to know what to ask. If you don't know where to start, you know, right. this is a wonderful starting point.
So on point, Miss Kim. We don't even know what we don't know.
You're right.
And so where do we start? My intention with The Wall of Wealth is for it to be a one-page financial plan that you can literally temperature check yourself, self-diagnose, so you can get an idea. And at the same time, you can decide whether or not my message resonates with you, but you can have an idea about what blind spots may be in your financial plan right now. There may be things you're aware of or things you're not aware of. Because when it comes to building our finances, it's just like building a home. And oftentimes, Ms. Kim, people try to put on the windows and the roof before they've ever created a foundation. And they start talking about things about flipping real estate, Bitcoin, stocks, options, you know, and there is a place for that. I'm not alluding to that. They're not relevant, because they truly are. Mm-hmm. However, my message is this: let's build your financial plan. Let's fill in the gaps in the blind spots and create your wall of wealth. And then that's a cherry on top is those other investments. That's where options go. That's where buying, selling real estate. Because if something goes sideways in those other investments that are high risk, by the way, generally, if something goes sideways, you still have something to fall back on. That's what happened during the 2008 crisis, is that many people owned 20 or 30 properties and they lost them all, but they had no backup plan. And so people become hopeless and they do desperate things. So, and the second part to your question was, where did this come from? I can't take full credit for it. When I was in my practice company, my mentor taught me a very basic wall of wealth. They only had a few products, so it wasn't all encompassing. And I always really liked that because I felt like it was really simple and anyone could understand it. And as I've been in my career, I've been licensed now 18 years. I have really embellished it. I've tested it. And now it's something I teach to all my clients. And I used to just draw it up on a yellow notepad and give it to them, right? And kind of tell a story. And then I created like a little template. And now it's come into a full ebook so that people can understand the rationale. Why do I have to have these things in place? What sense does it make? And I think that for a lot of people, it would answer a lot of questions if they just had it. I mean, it's really that simple. And like I said, you can literally go section by section and see, do I have this? Do I not? Why should I need this? Do I need it? And then, you know, go to the next step. So it's kind of like layers of a cake.
Yes.
Step by step.
Yes. I love that. And I mean, and that's important. Just like you said, it's about building the foundation. And I think because of the fact that we live in this microwave society where everything has to be instant fast, when you start talking about Bitcoin or you start talking about stocks, people are drawn to that. You see people who have amassed a lot of money, if they're strategic about going in and they understand it. And you have people who have left their jobs, who are sitting in their homes and that's all they do all day. And you know, for some of us, I don't have the bandwidth. My heart could not take that, you know, seeing things go up and down. Some people can ride that wave while others can't. So, and you know.
That's such a great point. You know, the wall of wealth is not sexy. It is boring. It's basic, but it will save and transform your finances if you adhere to it. All these other things, you're right. If you have the bandwidth for it and you've got the risk tolerance and you have the additional resources and you understand and you're okay with that, go okay. But I have seen even multimillionaires be decimated and leave absolutely nothing when they did not have the financial foundation in place because of taxes, because of not understanding Social Security and provisional income, estate taxes, capital gains taxes. I mean, there's so much more. That's why I say my role is I help people to properly protect, distribute, and transfer their wealth. You don't just put money in just to take the money out. There's a systematic, mathematical way to distribute that wealth. And then wealth transfer is something completely different. Financial advisors, wealth managements don't ever usually talk about that. And for me, Ms. Kim, I always say begin with the end in mind. I always like to start a financial plan with their living trust. Not that I'm an attorney, but as a financial professional, I help them to get prepared and organized. I partner with LSPN Direct, and that's a huge estate planning law firm. And then when they meet with the attorney, they're ready. And then once I know where they want to be, what assets do they want to transfer? What is that estate going to look like? Do they want a dynasty trust? Do they want to create a foundation? Do they have a nonprofit that's important to them? Do they want to skip generations? Do they want to put certain rules and guidelines, things that their beneficiaries and their heirs must do and things that they must not do? When I understand that big picture, then we can reverse engineer their financial plan. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. I like that. That reverse engineering part is critical because, yeah, you kind of have to have a destination in mind. You just can't be out there aimlessly wandering in the wilderness and think you're going to wind up somewhere. Where are you trying to wind up? And then I know that things can change, because now we're seeing so many families having to take in their aging parents and or their older children. And so the paradigm has shifted from the way it used to be. And now we're like, okay, we're seeing families that, where they thought that they were going to be free to go and travel, that was our dream, especially as a Generation Xer. I was like, you worked your job, you stayed at your job, you saved your money, and then when you got older, you hope to go and travel the world and do things. And now we have people that are passing away prematurely because they're not taking care of their health. Then you've got people who are not able or eligible for certain benefits and things because of pre-existing conditions. Then you've got people who have turned around and now had to take their family members in, and it's just become such a hodgepodge of things that were unexpected. And then, toss the pandemic in there, why don't you? And then it's just like, it's like a bomb drops on them. It's like, I have no idea where to go. I have no idea how to do this. And so the education portion that you're talking about is so critical because again, we don't know what we don't know. And so we don't know where to start. It's like, okay, I was doing okay. I was saving money. Now I have to take care of my aging parent. And now where's that money coming from? And if they don't qualify for health insurance, now what do I do? So I'm sure you get hit with a whole lot of questions about exactly how do I, go through all of those weeds? And I guess that starts, like you said, with the end in mind, right?
So many great points. I kind of want to unpack that. I actually, me and my ex-husband raised my sister's boys because she got into drugs. And I never expected to have two children, let alone four. Suddenly, we doubled our family overnight. And so that takes on its own challenges. You're right. You have to redo things like your wills, update your life insurance, and really account for that because we've got these boomerang children. A lot of people are raising their grandchildren or even, more of community children, siblings and such. And then also aging parents. When we talk about long-term care and long-term care insurance, people think of it as nursing home insurance. It's really state out of a nursing home insurance. If you don't have something in place, I've literally watched families destroy an entire legacy. If I can tell you a quick story. This was a few years ago, probably about 10 years ago. And I was really working on fine-tuning the living trust because I've always had an interest in it and just really became it's really my crusade. And I sat down with this family. They met with me as a favor to a friend. And they said, you know what, Leah? They're a beautiful couple. I met them in a Starbucks. They said, they're hand in hand. She said, you know what? We're empty nesters. My husband's going to retire in just a couple of weeks. We've got all this stuff in place. We've got a financial advisor. We're good. We've got millions of dollars. No big deal. We'll sit through this cursory, but we got to go out to dinner, movie, and get some ice cream afterwards. So I went through a kind of cursory. I probably didn't give my full energy to it. And that's something I reflect on. And so then they went along their zippity-doo-dah way, hand in hand, beautiful couple. She was in a summer dress. He had a beautiful trimmed beard. I mean, just really lovely. And that was that, or so I thought. A few months later, remember, they were referred to me as a favor to a friend. I saw the friend, we'll call her Cindy on Facebook saying, it's my turn to take care of Sally, so I can't be at the party tonight. And I'm, what happened? I'm like, Cindy, what's going on with Sally? And she said, oh my gosh, Leah. A few months after they met with you, Sally went and had her annual checkup. And she was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease. And within just months, She was completely a different person. She couldn't even breathe on her own. She was wheelchair bound with all the apparatuses. Bob not only did not retire, he liquidated his entire estate caring for her. And he was at the point where he was soliciting friends and family to care for her while he was away at work.
Wow.
She passed away maybe a couple of years later. Mm-hmm. He lost all his retirement. He ended up selling his house and pretty much, I mean, I'm sure emotionally destroyed the love of his life, I'm sure, but completely financially devastated. And here's the thing, Miss Kim. If they had had the proper long-term care policies and protection in place, I'm not saying it would have changed her health, but it would have given Bob some options and the opportunity to be there with his beautiful wife while she was going through this dramatic transition that was completely unexpected. Right. And that's why when people say, Leah, why are you so passionate? Why are you always talking everywhere? Why are you on all these podcasts? It's because I've seen this happen over and over again. And I know that people need to understand that there are options, no matter where you are, what stage in your life, whether you're just starting out, whether you're in the middle of building your business and building your wealth, or you're more towards the sunset. There are strategies and options. Now, they may look differently if you've done it earlier. However, my mentor taught me, listen, there's always a way.
Right. There's always a how. That's why we say how now, because there's a
there
way. There's hope. There is hope. It's not anything that's finite. Like you say, it starts with the smallest step. And so I think about people, like you said, tax season is right around the corner. People are going to be, taking their, going to be receiving their returns. You know, some people, older people, baby boomers, are still putting their money under mattresses. You're like, some people are putting them in banks. People are afraid of what to do, you know? And then we hear all of these grumblings about the US dollar and what's going to happen to it. And is it going to be phased out? And then you hear about people talking about Bitcoin. It's all of these things. You know, people have to know. Here it is. I filed my taxes. I've got a tax return coming. What do I do with it?
Yeah. And it really depends. I always say, you know, we got to start with the end in mind. And if I can just go quickly over the wall of wealth, I don't want it to remain like this elusive secret. Okay, it's not a secret. It's a free ebook, but it's just layers. So the first foundation is going to be your health insurance, your life insurance, disability. That's the first layer. From there, we look at emergency fund. You should have 3 to 6 months put away for an emergency. So maybe that tax refund would go to shore up some of those gaps in there. And then that's when we talk about retirement, 401ks, IRAs, and we talk about your debt. Now, this pillar, these two are exactly the same size because it goes like a pyramid.
Yes.
Because oftentimes people ask me, Leah, do I save and invest for retirement or do I pay down my debt? And my answer is both. We have to be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. We've got to pay down that debt because a true retirement is being debt-free, in my humble opinion. I don't believe in leveraging all of your debt. Your primary residence should be paid off in cash to have a true retirement. No car notes, student loans, credit cards. That's a true retirement. From there, then we talk about college. Maybe you have little ones or maybe you have grandchildren that you want to provide for. Because oftentimes well-meaning families, I know in my culture, this is rampant. We will forego life insurance, disability. We'll say, forget about the emergency fund, we'll use a credit card and we can wait to retire, but we're going to put our money towards our kids' college. But guess what happens as soon as someone gets sick, somebody dies, or now somebody has an emergency like transmission goes out.
Right.
That college fund will be liquidated. And I've seen it time and time and time again. Thousands of dollars in fees and taxes and penalties. Then from there, we talk about what's your long-term goals. Do you plan to buy another home? Do you need a car, a boat? Are you going to travel? What are those things that you want to do long-term? And then pensions. If you don't have a pension through your employer, we need to look at creating your own personal private pension, which, by the way, you can do. And then we talk about what is tax-free, because retirement plans are generally tax deferred. And oftentimes people think that means tax exempt. It doesn't. It means you're going to pay the taxes down the road. So we need to look at what do you own that is tax-free. And then we talk about long-term care and long-term care insurance. And then that cherry on top, once we have the foundation, then we can talk about buying and selling real estate and Bitcoin and all those other sexier things, right?
Right.
And
right.
what protects it all, Miss Kim, is a living trust. This is truly the wrapper around everything that you work so hard to accumulate. Because without a proper estate plan, because it truly is estate planning, a simple trust by itself doesn't include all the documents. So you want all the documents together. You want the true estate plan. A true estate plan is not only going to protect and hopefully eliminate the need for probate, but also it is going to have those bumper rails on how you're going to distribute that wealth, when you distribute that wealth, the things they must do and mustn't do. So that's the wall of wealth where everybody starts, whether you have $50 a month to invest or $50 million a month.
Right.
Everybody starts there. And I have never had one family ever not have something that they needed, no matter how much money they have. Then the next layer, which will be my next book, and I'll come back, which will be The Wall of Wealth for Business Owners.
Absolutely.
Because
Absolutely.
That one gets a little sexier. That one gets a little more fun.
That makes sense. That makes sense. I mean, you know, the thing is, people will say, you know, I don't have the money. I don't have anything. But it's that same person that goes and buys that cup of coffee every day. It's that same person that goes and buys that croissant every morning, you know. And so you can always find it somewhere, because if people are not walking around here, you know, with, you know, skips on and you know, secondhand clothes, there are people out here spending money on hair, nails, lashes, clothes, sneakers, all kinds of things. And they're saying that they don't have any money. And so I'm even thinking, you know, even the most basic of things, write down what you spend.
Right.
Is that something that is wise to do? Because that's something that I've done. You know, I've said, oh, I can't invest in that. And then I've sat down for a week and reviewed my finances. And then when I looked, I was like, oh my gosh, I spent this much money in food or in drinks every day. And then I was like, no, I do have it. It's just that when you're spending those pennies every day, it doesn't seem like a lot. But when you're investing it, it turns into a lot.
That's
so
right.
so
yeah.
you know,
that's so so it, good. I did this little episode on our Money Minute called The Power of the Penny. If you take a penny and you double it every single day for a year, you will have, check this out, 68,719,476.74. You will never look at a penny the same way again. So here's the deal. You are so, so right. It is those little pennies that add up. Because I don't believe in a budget, because a budget is punitive, right? We're not going to do, we're adults. We don't want to be punished. That's why I like to start with the end in mind. If they know the end in mind is to leave that legacy, if they know that end in mind is to retire in the Bahamas with some little fruity, cute drink with a little umbrella, then that gives them what? That gives them the encouragement, like, you know what? I can go without that Starbucks if it means I can do this. You know what? I can go ahead and maybe not buy that Gucci purse today. Maybe I'll put it off and get a secondhand purse, or maybe I can get a knockoff. I mean, who the heck cares, right?
Exactly.
So it really is a paradigm shift. When we find the end, then it isn't punitive. Then it becomes exciting. And then it becomes like a game. And then you think of the penny and you think, wow, if I just started with just $50 a month, maybe it's $50 a month today. The number doesn't matter, Miss Kim. People get locked up in thinking they have to have some huge amount, because we've been bamboozled into thinking we got to start there. A lot of companies won't even talk to you unless you have money, $500,000 or so, before they would even take your call. But I believe it is the mental discipline of putting money away. What do they call that? Dollar cost averaging. It is developing that atrophy muscle, the discipline. And what happens is if you put that away over a year, you know, the average family doesn't have $400 in case of an emergency. Suddenly you'd have $400, $500, $1,000. And when you see that accumulate, people get excited and they start to self-monitor. I never monitor my clients. Listen, this is your money. I'm not working for you're the one. Right. I'm never going to tell you this is what you have to do. I'm just going to enlighten you and empower you to be able to make those decisions. And then you're going to self-discipline. Or sometimes I've had clients, you know what? I'm going to start a business. I'm going to start a smart hustle. I'm going to take a second job. I'm going to start doing other things. And now they have those resources. So like we started in the beginning, my mentor taught me there's always a way. And I just truly always do believe that.
Yeah, I think that's powerful. It does. Like you said, it's about, you know, having the wisdom so that that way, and I say this consistently, you know, we want to be in a place where we're able to respond and not react. When things become critical or crucial, or we find ourselves in a financial bind, we begin to panic because we don't know what to do because we have not prepared for that. And I think about that even in my, even with my weight loss journey. I remember being in a place where I was like, oh, you know, yeah, I'm going to lose weight. Then all of a sudden I lost the weight. And then all of a sudden it was like, uh-oh, my clothes don't fit. Oh, I didn't have finances to buy a wardrobe, but I said, oh, I'll just put a belt on this or that. It never dawned on me, like you said, to look at the end and see that, okay, when you lose that weight, you're going to need new clothes. You might need a whole new wardrobe. I never anticipated that. And so I was not prepared. So here was, I was looking crazy, like, okay, I have to stand in front of people and train, but I'm looking like a clown. I have no clothes. Because I didn't think about that. Because we wait until we get to a you know, to a financially stressed situation, and then what do? We start calling people, and you know, calling people who we make, quote unquote, like you said, have money, and then we call on them to bail us out. But when are they ever going to be to that point where they're going to be able to pay that person back, plus continue to do what they need to do? There's something in that inability to you know, regulate, or you know, their finances, or know how to invest or do things with money. That way, like you said, they've got that rainy day, that emergency fund. A lot of people don't have that. Then they have to rely on someone else to do it for them. So I love that you talk about this. It's about enlightening people so that that way we're not in that point of things being emergent before we act. And now we're reacting, and then it becomes a cycle because we never seem to get out from under it once we get there. Even though the notifications and bills were coming in, you know, just like when people say, oh, well, I didn't have the money for my phone bill. It was coming every month.
Right.
Nothing changed. They're not going to say, you know, pay a month, get a month free. That's not how it works. It's not a BOGO. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. One, get one. People don't know what to do or how to prepare. And so they begin to react out of fear and out of desperation, and we have to get them on the other side of that, so that when these situations happen, they can say, okay, I'm just going to run to the bank, and I know that I have this emergency fund set up for this, and now I have something to fall back on. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about those toolboxes. Absolutely. And making sure that we have something to reach for besides, you know, an empty well that has nothing in it, and we're not where we need to be.
You're watching this. I urge you to go back to this last 3 minutes and rewatch that. That was a TED talk right there. That was a mic drop. You were so on point. So awesome. A lot of that has to do with our self-worth. If we don't believe that we're worthy, then we're going to self-sabotage ourselves. That's why I say the amount doesn't matter. You know, if you're making a minimum wage, you can't start with $1,000 a month. My average client puts $3,000 to $5,000 a month away, you know, and more. Right. But I say, you know what? Start with a penny. Mm-hmm. Anyone can start with a penny, because it's not how much money it is. It is building up your self-worth. And when you start to do that, you're setting your attention. And, you know, God, the universe, whatever you believe, I'm a Christian, so I believe in God.
Yes,
but amen. He sees that you are being you're being vigilant and you're being respectful of what he's given you. You're honoring it and you're putting it away. Maybe you're putting it, hopefully you're not putting it under your mattress, but you know, maybe you put it in a jar until you've got a few hundred dollars to put somewhere. But it really is starting. And when you start to obey the laws of money, then that's when you start to attract it. When you start to build up your self-worth and your self-identity, and you believe that you're worthy of having more, that's when things will start to change. That's when things will start to miraculously, you're just going to get a check for $20 that you weren't expecting. Someone's going to pay you back $100 that they borrowed 20 years ago that you didn't even know about. You're going to go into the dryer and the laundromat and you're going to find, you know, a $50 bill. I mean, things just happen for you because when we focus on what we want, our reticular activating system, our subconscious mind starts to help us to find it.
Right. And the beauty of that, like you said, when you get it, it's knowing what to do with it. Yeah, people are out there and they play the lotto every day and they play those things. I have no, you know, what they run numbers or whatever they do. I don't even know how that works. Because I'm just not, I'm that kind of, not that kind of person who goes into the, you know, goes to Vegas and pulls the lever. I'm the one who just sits in the corner and just claps for the people that get the money. But it's knowing what to do when you get it. You know, that's why you see people who have, you know, won millions and then a couple of years later, they're flat broke again because they didn't know what to do with it. And again, that's a part of the responding. Okay, wow, I found this $50 bill. What am I going to do with it? Am I going to run to the store and go and blow it at Walmart or Target or somewhere else? Or am I going to invest that money so that it can grow for me? And those become the questions. That's the mindset that we have to get into.
Yeah.
Just being able to say, okay, I've got this now. What am I going to do with this?
Yeah.
You know, besides blow it. And most people did. They just go, hey, I found this $50 bill. Let me jump in. Dinner's on me tonight. Then you're right back to zero again.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to
make money. Again, I just go back to your identity and your self-worth. When you start to pay yourself first, you know, that's when you're sending the message that you are worthy. It's, you know, I had a client years ago. I met them. They were completely financially independent. I can't take any credit for that. They were field workers. They got married when they were like 16, 14 and 16 years old. They worked in the fields, cantaloupes, cotton, watermelon, all this stuff, making that's a very modest income.
Right.
When I met them, they were retired. They owned two or three properties completely paid off in cash in California. They had over $500,000 in their retirement accounts and hundreds of thousands of dollars in their savings accounts. And I asked them, like, how did you guys do this? I mean, and they had totally no debt. I said, I know people who make 10 times more money than you do, and they don't have this. And she told me, you know, she barely had a second grade education.
Wow.
And she said, we were working so hard and I realized that we were struggling to pay every single person, paying this bill, paying that bill. And I said, you know what, if I'm going to work this hard, I'm going to pay myself first. And they put themselves first, 5% of their income and then 10% of their income. They got it to where they were paying themselves first over 25% of their income. That's called discipline. The power of compound interest, and then it becomes the compound pounding. When you start to do these things, remember, it's not about the dollar amount. I don't want people to get bamboozled and tricked up and thinking if I don't have $100 or $500 a month, it truly is the power of the penny. Start somewhere. It's the discipline and the action of putting it away, but that has to be what? Something that you don't touch until it's an emergency,
mindset, and you have to, just like anything else, just like any other thing that you're trying to conquer, you have to establish the discipline. Like you said, you have to see it or see your self-worth and say, okay, I'm worth paying me first, said that way I have a future. Because some people are building and putting away money and everything else like that, and then they never get to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Then their children or their grandchildren get it, and then they squander it, and you worked all of those years for nothing. And so it's definitely a matter of paying yourself back, doing things small, because I think that's what happens. We have this mindset of thinking that everything has to be grand and big when it doesn't. And that's a lesson that I've even had to learn these last couple of months, even with traveling with my husband. I was like, well, we can't afford to do this. And blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden it was like, okay, we could take these small trips. Airlines have these deals, and yeah, you may not be able to bring a bag, but you can bring a backpack. Okay, start packing light. Start getting some of those little vacuum bags and zipping and taking this with you. It's amazing. We have so many resources available to us, and we fail sometimes to take advantage of those things, you know, and they're right there in front of us. And it's just a matter of educating ourselves and what we don't know, asking people who do. And those people are not, you know, your Uncle John or your Aunt Sally, who, you know, could barely rub two nickels together, but we ask them for financial advice. We have to make sure that we're going to the people who are educated in this, and then, you know, asking those questions. I don't know what compound interest is. I don't know what any of those words mean. And being able to ask people who can enlighten them, so that way they know what to ask or how to go about doing things. And a lot of it comes from just not knowing. So we've got to, you know, have platforms like these, have shows like yours, have books like yours, so that way we have something to tap into. These are things that need to be in our mental toolboxes, so that when we get to the point of not knowing what to do, we can reach back and say, wait a minute, where's that Wall of Wealth ebook that I have? Let me go back and look at that and see, where did she say to start again? It's things just like this that we need, so that we're prepared.
And you know what? One thing I hope that your audience would really embrace is that we all start somewhere. And so if the person you're working with is making you feel judged or making you feel bad about where you are, then maybe find someone else. Because somebody who truly is there to help you, I always tell my clients, listen, there's no judgment here. You know, whatever you did, let's take that and take that as a lesson. And we're starting here moving forward. Because we can't change what happened yesterday. We can only make the upgrades in the future. So if you feel bad about where you are, you know, find somebody who's going to really be empathetic and hand carry you and walk you through the process. Absolutely. You know, it's not, don't worry about the designation, because we come in all different walks of life, right? There's all kinds of different letters and things like that behind our names that we could have, but truly it's really somebody that you feel is going to have your best interest at heart, and they're truly going to take the time to help you to understand what you're doing. Nice. Because it doesn't matter if it has the greatest return, if you can't explain it easily, then it's not the right thing for you. And then also somebody who just is not going to make you feel bad about the mistakes, you know, quote unquote mistakes, right, that you made in the past financially. Right. And we can't grow from that. We can't progress if we're still beating ourselves up about some financial error that happened, you know, 5, 10, 20 years ago.
That's it. We've just got to get on the path to healing. And you know, and like you said, that starts with being able to ask for help. And that's in any aspect of our lives that we're going through. How can I ask for help for the things that I don't know? How can I educate myself so I know how to ask again, so that I can respond and not react when situations get a little sticky? So, I mean, I appreciate all this information that you have shared so far with us, because, you know, we, like you said, we have to start somewhere. We can look over that horizon, but until we start walking towards that horizon, we are never going to know what's on the other side. So we have to get ourselves in that mindset of saying, okay, I'm going to move forward from right now. Right. And I'm going to see where it takes me. I'm not going to worry about what happened yesterday, because like you said, we can't change that. Now let's see what we can do to you know, right the wrongs that we've done already and move forward. So that way we're in a better position. So that we're in a better frame of mind, so that we're in a better place to deal with those situations that are coming. Not that they're not coming, they're coming. But how are we going to deal with it the next time this happens? Right. So that way we're prepared. So please tell people how they can get in contact with you, because I'm sure they want to know how they can get this Wall of Wealth ebook and how they can get in contact with you if they have any additional questions.
Absolutely. I'm all over social media. My best platform is LinkedIn. I'm usually on there. You can send me a direct message, Leah Garcia, CEO. You can also email me at thewallofwealth@gmail.com or my website, thewallofwealth.org. And like I said, I do the Money Minute. I'm on, you know, all over the social media. And awesome. Worst case, you can send me a smoke signal. No, I'm just kidding. You can ask Ms. Kim. She'll put you in touch with me.
Right. But what we will do is definitely what we'll do is we'll have those tags and contact information in the description when the show airs, so that way people will know how they can get in contact with you and also get a copy of your ebook. So that way they can begin to build that wall. And then this is in this case, you know, when we tell people you're building walls, no, this is a positive wall. This is going to be that wall that's laying that foundation so that you can put that cherry on top, get those windows in and all that good stuff. We want to make sure that you are prepared. So
this
again,
so
thank
fun.
You.
Thank
so
you for the opportunity.
Much.
And I appreciate you so much.
Yes. Now, what I do is I ask two questions before I end every show. And that first question is, how are you living in the now? What are you doing to navigate in this space that you're in?
You know, I love the beach. My office is about a 10-minute walk to the beach, and I literally have to schedule it in or I won't go. And what I do, I was just talking to one of my good friends about this. I don't ever take pictures. I hardly ever send pictures because I leave my phone. I Yes. take a nice blanket. I might take some sparkling water or a little snack. I might take a book or I might not take a book. And I force myself to go and just be. Sometimes I read. Sometimes I pray. Sometimes I sit. We call it meditation. I call it just being.
Yes. Yes.
Sometimes I journal. And I have great conversations with me, myself, and I.
Yes. Yes. Whole group.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that. Just being, you yeah. know, and I always ask that question because I think that it's important for us to understand how others are navigating in this space, because we're in such a special time and place.
It is.
In a place where some of us have never been before, and we want to know how to go about coping. And my acronym for COPE, of course, is Create Our Peaceful Existence. How are we creating our peaceful existence? Again, so that we're in a place of responding and not reacting to the things that are going on around us.
That's
and
so
it starts
good.
with it starts from within. Like yeah. you said, it starts with loving ourselves. And that wealth is not just financial. It becomes our spiritual wealth, our physical wealth. That wealth comes in so many different ways. And so, mm-hmm. you know, I thank you for that and for reminding us that it's not just the financial wealth, it's the right. other aspects of our lives that bring wealth to us in other ways. So again, right. thank you so much for being here. Do you have any final remarks for our listeners before we go?
Yeah, I would just say, and we shared this earlier, is just remember, we all started somewhere. We've all been there. None of us, well, very few of us were born with a silver spoon in our mouth, right? And even if you've heard of trust fund babies, they've got their own problems, and that's a whole nother episode. But just understand that we've all been there. Anybody who's helping you with their money should really understand and just allow you to share with them really what you want. Don't allow somebody else to put their own ideas of what you should do and how you should spend your money. I wasn't there when you made it. I'm not there with you at work when you're creating it or building your business. So I don't feel I have the right to tell you how to spend it. And just find somebody who will really take the time to walk you through the entire process.
Awesome. Okay. So you have heard it here. I said, take your time, go and figure out, you know, get a pen and paper, write things down and figure out where it is that you want to go. So that way you can articulate that to the financial person that is going to be able to best help you to prepare for the future. So again, Leah, thank you so much for being here with me. Know that you are welcome back. Like you said, when your next ebook comes out, when we're talking about business, we're definitely going to have you come back, because what's happening right now may not be what's happening 2 minutes, 2 hours, 2 days, 2 weeks, or 2 years from now. So you're always welcome back. You are now officially part of the How Now family. So thanks again for being here. And that will do it for this edition of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. And until we see you the next time, I say peace.